وقل رب زدني علما.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Inshallah, we have the class from the Kitab Usul Sunnah, the Imam Ahl Sunnah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah. قال رحمه الله ومن لقي الله بذنب تجب له به النار تائبا غير مصر عليه أو يجب له به النار يجب أو تجب يجب وأيهما أصوب. أنا أيضا عندي يجب، I have يجب. ومن لقي الله بذنب نعم أي النار، ومن لقي الله بذنب تجب له به النار تائبا غير مصر عليه، فإن الله يتوب عليه ويقبل التوبة عن عباده ويعفو عن السيئات. ومن لقيها وقد أقيم عليه حد ذلك الذنب في الدنيا فهو كفارته، كما جاء في الخبر عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومن لقيه مصرا غير تائب من الذنوب التي قد استوجب بها العقوبة فأمره إلى الله، إن شاء عذبه وإن شاء غفر له. ومن لقيه من كافر عذبه ولم يغفر له. Inshallah, one brother who can read for us. Inshallah, the translation. If anyone who has the English.
None of you have it, yeah, no problem.
Take your time to get it out.
From the foundations of the Sunnah is that we do not declare anyone from the Muslims to enter paradise or the hellfire based on any action that they have done. We hope for the righteous and fear for him at the same time. Likewise, we fear for the sinner and desire that Allah has mercy on him. Last time.
Mm, tired.
whoever meets Allah and has repented from a sin that has obligated for him the hellfire and has not persisted upon that sin, Allah will accept his repentance and pardon him. That is because Allah accepts the repentance from his servants and forgives the sins. Whoever meets Allah and the legal punishments has been established upon him in the dunya, then the punishment serves as an expiation for him, as it has been reported from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whoever meets Allah persistent upon committing a sin that has obligated for him a punishment and has not repented from it, then his affair is with Allah. If he wills, he will punish him, and if he wills, he will forgive him. And whoever meets Allah as a disbeliever, Allah will punish him and will not forgive him.
Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, mentioning from the Bayrin Sunnah, from the fundamentals of the Sunnah with Ahlul Sunnah. وَمَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ بِذَنْبٍ تَجِبُ لَهُ بِهِ النَّارِ تَائِبًا غَيْرَ مُصِرٍّ عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ وَيَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَعْفُ عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala said, and whoever meets Allah and has repented from a sin that obligated for him the fire and has not persisted upon that sin, Allah will accept his repentance and will pardon him. That's because Allah accepts the repentance from his servants and forgives the sin. So if someone commits a sin which is from the major sin, if you commit a sin, min al-kaba'ir, a sin that obligated for him the fire, but he repented from the sin, he doesn't persist it, he repented from the sin, what will happen? Allah Azza wa Jal accept the repentance of that person. For Allah accept the repentance from his servants, and that Allah pardons and forgives the sin. That's for the one who repents from the sin. The kind of sin, the type of sin which obligated a punishment, which exposes the person to a punishment. If that person repents from the sin, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept the repentance of his servants and forgives the sin. What are the conditions of acceptance of the repentance from someone? Who can remind us one of it? نعم الإخلاء عن الذنب. That's the first condition, to refrain from the sin, to stop the sin. So that's a condition, to stop the sin. So for instance, someone is drinking alcohol, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, he is called to repent. He said he will continue drinking when he's drinking, and then he will repent. Is that repentance accepted? Yes? No. Someone, he didn't pray Maghrib. He didn't pray Isha, Asr, for instance. He's called to repent to Allah and to pray. Based on those people, those ulama who say, if the person leaves the salah intentionally, to repent, he has to make up that salah. Some of them say no making up that salah. If he left it intentionally, he should repent. And it's not from the repentance with regard to his case to pray that salah to make up. Some ulama say so. But majority they say yes, he should repent. And from that to pray, to make up. Al-Muhim. So he's called to make up the salah. He say he will leave with this salah. From tomorrow he will pray the Dhuhr or the Asr. That's not accept repentance. He has to stop the sin. So he has to fulfill the obligatory action, ibadah, and he has to avoid and stop the sin he's committed. That's one condition. Al-Iqla' anidham. To let the sin go away, to leave it alone, to stop it, to refrain from it, to stay away from it. Second condition, to regret, remorse, to confess and feel that he committed a sin. He exposed himself to the punishment of Allah, to the anger of Allah. So he feels bad about committing the sin. Someone he doesn't feel he did anything wrong, that's not repentance. He has to remorse, he has to regret, he has to feel sorry. He wish he would never commit that sin. The third condition. Yes. Naam. Al-azmu ala adam al-awda. He has to determine that he will not go back to that sin. He decide, he will never do that sin again. That was his last time to commit that sin. Why are he doing all this? For the sake of Allah. Not because he fear virus or he showing off. Ikhlas. He does it for the sake of Allah. That's fourth one. The fifth one, the repentance must take place the time that the repentance is accepted, which is before death time. Even Pharaoh, he repented at the death time. قال آمنت أنه لا إله إلا الذي آمنت به بنو إسرائيل وأنا من المسلمين. But it was not accepted from him. الآن وقد عصيت قبل وكنت من المفسدين. So the repentance was not accepted because it passed the time to accept it. So how many conditions you have so far? How many conditions? Five. Ahsantum. Yes, five. Many ulama, they mention three. Sheikh Ibn Baz and others, they mention five. But those who mention three, the other two also include. To stop the sin, that's there. To stop the sin, to regret about committing the sin means remorse, to determine not to commit it again, to do it for the sake of Allah, to do it the right time. There's one more condition left in order the sin be forgiven. Who remember? Na'am, if the sin relates to the rights of people, he must return their rights back or at least ask them forgiveness. So someone is stolen money from someone, $10,000, for instance, he must return that money or at least ask forgiveness to that person. If the person gives up his right, then the person is free. Otherwise, he must pay his money back. He must return the rights of the other in order that sin is forgiven. So if the person fulfill this, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, azza wa jal, out of his mercy and rahmah, promise to forgive. أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَعْفُ عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Allah mentioned the worst of the sin. Someone may commit shirk billahi azza wa jal, killing an innocent soul, committing a zina. Allah mentioned the punishment of those who commit this sin and how they will be humiliated, khalidan fiha. But Allah make exception. إلا الذين تابوا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا. Another ayah, Allah said, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى. طيب سبحان الله, how Allah تبارك وتعالى is merciful, how Allah سبحانه وتعالى عز وجل is forgiving, how Allah سبحانه وتعالى wants good for his servants. Any sin the person commits in his lifetime, regardless how evil that sin may be, how bad that may be, how long that person was committing the sin, if he makes these conditions, if he truly, jazakallahu khair, truly repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing what has been mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sin. Think about that. Someone who was not praying years and years, he came to know that Allah forgives the sin. He promised not to commit again. He feels sorry committing the sin. He stopped committing the sin. He does it for Allah. He does it at the right time. It's like he didn't disobey Allah with regard to that issue. At-ta'ibu min al-dhanb kaman la dhanba lahu. The one who repents from the sin, Prophet ﷺ said, it's like someone who didn't commit a sin. And Allah called all the believers, without exception, to make tawbah. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. All you believers, all of you, turn in repentance to Allah so you may be successful. So how great it is that every one of us review his life and remember what sin he commit, and then follow those footsteps. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleans him from the sin. That's for the one who repents from the sin. And the people of knowledge say that this repentance is not sufficient to general repentance, rather specific. Meaning a person commit, for instance, he steal, he has to repent from that. Person he drink alcohol, repent from that. He left his salah, he repent from that, and the like. Because every major sin needs repentance. Then Imam Ahmad said, next point. How about if the person doesn't repent? He said, وَمَنْ لَقِيَهُ وَقَدْ أُقِيمَ عَلَيْهِ حَدُّ ذَلِكَ الذَّنْبِ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَهُوَ كَفَارَتُهُ كَمَا جَاءَ فِي الْخَبَرِ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He said, whoever meets Allah and the legal punishment has been established upon him in the dunya, then the punishment serves as an expiation for him, as it has been reported from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the second scenario, second situation, is someone who commit a major sin and the capital punishment is established against him. He is stolen, his hand has been cut off. He commit zina, he was lashed. And the like. Imam Ahmad says, this person, that punishment will be expiation for him. Whoever meets Allah and the legal punishment has been established upon him in the dunya, in the worldly life, then the punishment serves as an expiation for him, as it has been reported from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That one also is well understood. This legal punishment is expiation. Third situation, وَمَنْ لَقِيَهُ مُصِرًّا غَيْرَ تَائِمٍ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ الَّتِي قَدْ اسْتَوْجَبَ بِهَا الْعُقُوبَةِ فَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ غَفَرَ لَهُ. He said, رحمه الله تعالى, and whoever meets Allah persistent upon committing a sin, that obligated for him a punishment and has not repented from it, then his affair is with Allah. If he, Allah Azza wa Jal, wills, he will punish him. And if he, Allah, wills, he will forgive him. So as for the person who committed a major sin and didn't repent from it, and this sin obligates for him a punishment, means a major sin, his affair is with Allah. For instance, he drink alcohol and he didn't repent and he died on that. His matter is with Allah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, he punish by his justice. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, he forgives that person based on his rahmah and mercy and wisdom subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال الإمام أحمد ومن لقيه من كافر عذبه ولم يغفر له. And whoever meets Allah as a disbeliever, Allah will punish him and will not forgive him. Whosoever meets Allah as a disbeliever, Allah will punish him and will not forgive him. نسأل الله السلامة والعافية. So this is the fourth scenario situation. If the person who meets Allah on the day of judgment is a disbeliever, that one, Imam Ahmad said, عذبه, Allah will punish him. ولم يغفر له, Allah will not forgive him. Allah said in Quran, إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. In this verse, Allah mentioned that He doesn't forgive shirk. He doesn't forgive shirk associated others with Him. How about atheism who do not worship Allah Azza wa Jal? The mushrik is one who worships Allah but worships others with Allah. Atheist doesn't worship Allah at all. He denies Allah's existence. How does he worship? Is his sin forgiven? Allah mentioned in this ayah the shirk. Allah doesn't forgive the shirk. Does that mean Allah forgives the denial of his existence and the like? No. How we understand in the verse? Yes? How do we understand? Yes? Okay, how do we understand? Allah doesn't forgive shirk. Anyone associates someone with him in worship. But Allah forgives. Other than that, lower than that, below than shirk, whoever he wishes. No. Tayyib. Naam. 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 Ahsant, barakallahu fiqh. You're right, Muhammad. Yes, the ulama, they say, there are words like shirk, kufr, faqir, miskin, for instance, iman, islam, for instance, Allah, rabb, for instance, and the like, these words. If one of these words is mentioned in a text, not the other one, the meaning of the other one also include. But if both words are mentioned, each one has its own meaning. For instance, shirk means to associate someone with Allah, to worship Allah and to worship others with Him. And kufr means disbelief. Disbelief, any kind of disbelief. Denial of Allah's verses, denial of Allah's existence, and the like. So, but if one of it is mentioned, the meaning of the other will include. So when Allah said here, "Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih," Allah doesn't forgive shirk, the ulama they say means kufr, any kind of disbelief. من الكلمات إذا اجتمعت افترقت وإذا افترقت اجتمعت. If someone says you give this sadaqa to the miskin, no difference between miskin and faqir, meaning anyone who is in need. Allah said in Quran, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا. They feed the food with their love, miskin. عَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Does here miskin mean, doesn't mean faqir? Remember, miskin is someone who is in need, but he has some. Faqir doesn't have anything. Or he has less than what miskin has it. Allah described people who have boat, making, working on the ocean, generating money, making income. Allah called them miskin. وَأَمَّا السَّفِينَ فَكَانَ لِمَسَاكِينَ. For the boat, it was for masakin. So if you are give this to the miskin, Allah said they feed the miskin. Means here the ulama they say miskin here means also faqir. Means anyone who is in need. But if someone says to you, give this to miskin and this to faqir, miskin is one who has more than faqir. Faqir has less. Even though both are in need of help. It's not from somebody who needs the rent. He needs the rent. The rent is 700. Someone has 600. He doesn't have that 100. Is he miskin or not? He's miskin. How about if he has 200? He doesn't have 500. He's also miskin. Here means someone who is in need. Even though the one who has 300 is faqir. The one who has 600 is miskin. But, al-muhim, the same thing. When the Sheikh Fawzan Hafidhullah, Sheikh Salah bin Fawzan al-Fawzan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him from the few Nobel scholars. He said, hadith in the grave, man rabbuk. Person will be asking, man rabbuk. Here, it's not only rububiyyah, it's not who created you, but also means who you used to worship. Who you used to worship. Who is your Lord you used to worship. Na'am. وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. كافرون. وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ. مشرك كافر. المهم. طيب. So the disbeliever, he fell into disbelief, he died upon that, Allah will not forgive it on the day of judgment. That's what Imam Ahmad said, rahimahullah. And that's what the proof shows from Quran and Sunnah. وَمَنْ لَقِيَهُ مِنْ كَافِرٍ عَذَّبَهُ وَلَمْ يَغْفِرْ لَهُ. Then Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala said, وَالرَّجْمُ حَقٌ عَلَى مَنْ زَنَى وَقَدْ أُحْسِنْ إِذَا اَعْتَرَفَ أَوْ قَامَتْ عَلَيْهِ بَيِّنَةً. وقد رجم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد رجمت الأئمة الراشدون وقد رجمت الأئمة الراشدون. Another مسألة, some أهل البدع they deny. Of course the مسألة we have now, some people they deny. They say this Muslim who commit the major sin, the murji'a, they say, since he believes what he did is wrong, he disobeyed Allah, he will not be punished. He has iman. And the Khawarij, they say, no, since he committed a major sin, and he didn't repent, he died on that, the Khawarij and Mu'tazil, they say, he will be in hellfire forever. Allah will not forgive them. Al-Sunnah, they say, no. هو تحت المشيعة. It's under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He forgives. If Allah wills, He punishes. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that one out of hellfire at the end. Then Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala said, He said the legislation of carrying out the legal punishment, شرعيه إقامة الحدود. He said the legislation of a regime, stoning means to death, is true and correct for the fornicator who is or has been married, whether they have confessed or sufficient proof has been established against him. The Prophet ﷺ has implemented the legal punishment of regime stoning, as did the rightly guided successors, the Khulafa. Again, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala said the legislation of regime stoning to death is true and correct for the fornicator who is or has been married, whether they have confessed or sufficient proof has been established against him. The Prophet ﷺ has implemented the legal punishment of regime stoning, as did the rightly guided Khulafa, successors. This is another mas'ala. The Khawarij, they deny it. Some of the Khawarij. The Imam Ahmad said, وَالرَّجْمُ حَقٌ عَلَى مَنْ زَنَى. So the rajm, stoning to death, is truth and is correct upon the one who fornicated. وَقَدْ أُحْسِنَ. For someone who is married or he married in the past. When this ruling is established, إِذَا اعْتَرَفَ. If he confess and he say he did it. Or قَامَتْ عَلَيْهِ بَيِّنَةً. A proof is established against him. What's the bayina? How much bayina? The bayina is for witnesses, for justice people to say, to testify, to bear witness that they have seen this man and that woman making zina. Yes, they have seen them making zina. They are private part inside one another. That is very specific. The people of knowledge said that was never, it never happened. It never happened that someone, the proof was established against someone because he committed zina. It never happened. Because the strict condition for people to witness the same time, the same thing, actual intercourse taking place. It never happened. But what happened is confession. Someone who fear Allah, تبارك وتعالى, and he confess. And who does that? Only someone who fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Because even confessing that and going to the judge to establish the rule is not a mandatory. If the person covers himself and he makes sincere repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah accepts. But some people, because they have so much fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, they fear so much about hellfire, they bring themselves to the court. Just like Ma'iz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that he committed zina. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to make way out for him. To say, oh, maybe you didn't do that. Maybe this is what happened. Maybe, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away from him. So like ignoring him, but he was not leaving. Until he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abihi Junoon, is he crazy? Is he crazy? They say, no, we don't know anything. To some narration, one of the Sahaba, he smelled his mouth in case he's drunk. Nothing. So in this case, if the person go to the judge must apply the rule. Before the judge, he can hide himself. So if you see someone commit those things which obligate capital punishment, you don't have to take to the court. You can hide. Even if he wants to go, you can tell him, look, hide yourself. Make repentance to Allah. As happened from Sahaba, when someone saw another one drinking alcohol, he wants to tell to the judge, he said, go, leave him alone. so to cover him. But if the case reaches the judge must apply the rule. Before that, he doesn't go after. But the case come to him, he has to apply the rule. So this is ruling, is also was established, Imam said, by the Prophet ﷺ, by the Khulafa al-Rashidun. So whoever deny, he deny the haq, the truth. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala azza wa jalla huwa ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Subhana is the most merciful. He is al-Hakim, the all-wise. All the rules Allah legislate, there is a wisdom. It is the truth. Whoever doesn't know that in this world life, surely he will know on the day of judgment. يَوْمَ يَدْعُوكُمْ فَتَسْتَجِيبُونَ بِحَمْدِهِ. The day Allah will call you and you will respond to him with praising him. You will praise that Allah call you. You praise Allah that he command you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only calls to the haq. So this is the truth. The people of knowledge, they mention, one of the wisdom is that these severe punishments, whether it's stoning to death, whether it's killing the cutting with his hand if he is still, lashing the one who commits zina, he didn't marry before that, in front of the people, 100 lashes. Lashing the one who accused someone, he commits zina without proof, 80 lashes, and the like. These are from the wisdom, the people to avoid this thing. Not to commit it from the beginning. To avoid it. Because if someone knows that that rule will be established, his right hand will be cut off if he is still. He knows. Who will then go ahead and still? Out of 100 people who were planning to steal, and they realize their right hand will be cut off if they steal, how many of all those 100 do you believe, Ibrahim, they will still move forward and they will still steal? None of them. Maybe one or two who think they will not be caught and the like. They gamble in their health. Otherwise, people, especially these rules, is established in Islam in front of the people. It's not something hidden. People to see it. Have you ever been in Saudi Arabia and have seen one hand is being cut off? You will never think to steal. You will never think to steal. It's coming back to your mind. It's not a joke. And this is the hikmah. How many people wanted to steal one's property and they end up killing the person? A lot of people die. Beginning they want to steal. This person has to fight back. And then it ends up. Still, if you steal, they already recognize you. They take you to jail, they kill them, get rid of him. How many people dead? How many property has been destroyed? How many stores? How many wealths? Because of stealing. Now you see what they call those countries with technology. How many policemen, how many technology, how many camera, how many surveillance, name it. Still, almost every store is being stolen. It's being broken. Every store. One businessman said, even the camera, they come in front of the camera and they tell you bye-bye. They shake their hand and they do what they want. So he was telling no benefit. A businessman who have a big store. Barakallahu fi. Why? Because this person, he knows, if they catch him, what would they do? Then he's free. Let alone steal. Even if he kill people. He shoot people and he accused them. There is an incident. His house was attacked. A Muslim's house was attacked by those people. He called the police. The police, they come. They started handcuffing him. He said to him, oh, you're telling me, I come back to you and I will kill you. And they hear him. He has to move from the whole city, that person. Because he knows he will do it. He doesn't pay any. He doesn't. Some people, they even don't care. Even if they are killed, they don't care. So then think about if these people are sent to the society and they know that is the consequence. Just to pay a small amount of bond and then he comes. His friend send him back. And then later on we say, why too much killing? Why am I too much rape? Too much breaking houses? Too much why? It's because the system. Sometimes the system encourages. Yes, it encourages in reality. So from the hikmah, the ulama, they say, from the beginning, these rules, Allah legislate people to stay away from committing their sin. First. But if someone, he gambled in his life, he gambled in his, then he deserves. Why? To protect the others from his evil. When this, or how this person is being punished, how this is being done, where's the humanity? Other people don't have, right? He will, he break their property, he make them fear. Sometimes he left in their mind psychological problems. He jumped to their house and he did what he did. They don't have right. Those people, he killed their, his, their, they kill, he killed their father. This woman, he killed her husband. They say, no, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, or born, go. Especially if you have a big lawyer. So from the hikmah is a wisdom, it's ilm. That without doing anything, people to stay away from the sin. Allah said in the Quran, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. You have life in what? Qisas. Soul by soul. Hand by hand. Eye by eye. Someone throw one's eye intentionally, cut one's hand intentionally, kill one another intentionally. Allah said there is life in doing the same to him. But who knows that Yawlil Albab, those who have aql, intellect. Because those who don't have intellect, they look, oh, this one he already killed, killing him another person, it takes away two people. No, that is not the issue. To kill him is life. Because he may kill more. He may kill more. Remember from the children of Israel, the man who killed 100 people, including a scholar. How much corruption he make? 100 people. Some people, they kill more than that. Maybe our time, because of this weapon, person may kill how many people? Allahu A'lam. So this rule is, when you hear from beginning, is very harsh. Oh, Islam's rule is very harsh. But in reality, there is mercy in it. There is rahmah in it. There is life in it. Therefore, go to those country who establish these rules. Subhanallah. Safety, wallahi. Safety, peace, wallahi. You take a bag of dollars, thousands of dollars to the mountains. Nobody look at you. How much safety? You leave your car with the key in the public place. So in case you're blocking somebody because too much parking, like the masajid, someone move your car and put somewhere else. You look for where is the car. Here they may do next to the police headquarter. قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى ومن انتقص أحدا من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أو أبغضه بحدث كان منه أو ذكر مساوئه كان مبتدعا حتى يترحم عليهم جميعا ويكون قلبه لهم سليما. Another مسألة, Imam Ahmad رحمه الله تعالى said, and whoever believers, one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, or hates him, either because of something this companion did, or by mentioning his shortcoming, then he is an innovator. He is an innovator until he makes supplication for all of the companions, asking Allah to bestow his mercy upon them. And his heart doesn't contain any negative feelings towards them. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala said, whoever Bilal, Bilal is one of the companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any from the companion, or hates him. He belittled, he said negative thing about him in action, in statement, anything. Any kind of belittling a companion, whoever does that. Or he hates a companion. Either because of something this companion did it, or by mentioning his shortcoming. He did this, he did this, he did this. Imam Hussain said, then he is this person, he is an innovator. He is an innovator until he makes supplication for all of the companions, asking Allah to bestow His mercy upon them. Not only a statement, but also he said, and his heart doesn't contain any negative feeling towards them. So this is the aqidah of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. So no one should belittle, no one should say negative, no one should mention the shortcoming of the companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whoever does that, he's innovator, mubtadi'an, Imam Ahmad, he's innovator. Until he makes dua for the Sahaba, he says good about them, and until his heart is salim, is pure for them. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. So the true believer who is upon the straight path, what he does, two things. He makes sincere dua for the companion. Oh Allah, forgive them. Oh Allah, have mercy upon them. Second, that's not only by the tongue, also in his heart. لا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا. Oh Allah, don't make in our heart hatred. Meaning to the believers. The first most first of the believers are the companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the aqidah of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Therefore, Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they loved the Sahaba. They respected them. They honored them. Don't say, Ya Aqi, one of the Sahaba said so and so statement from another Sahabi. So, for instance, so Sahabi said so and so from another companion. So I don't know. The companion, they are on the same level. They all in companions. That's between them. Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim. We are not their level. If your father says strong statement to your mother or the opposite, you son, daughter, you doing the same thing mother did? No. Father and mother, they have the same style. They have the same level. Okay? You, the children, you respect the mother, you respect the father. You don't say to the mother what father said to her of negative things, of slander and the like. Al-Muhim. So the Sahaba, radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim, that doesn't negate what the people of Ahl-Sunnah, they mention. Some incidents happen for history to take lesson from, to learn from incidents happening between Sahaba, to get lessons from that, not to say, not to belittle them. Yes, but to affirm that each of the Sahaba, what happened between them, they were mujtahidun. They only wanted good. So whoever the right was with him, whoever said the right thing, whoever was the correct opinion, he get to reward. Whoever make ijtihad, he try his best, but he wrong, he get one reward. Perhaps the Sahaba, they have so much righteous things that overwhelms if one of them had a shortcoming. Individual Sahaba, they were not ma'sumun, they were not perfect. But the righteous deeds they have is much more. If one of the rest of the Muslims, let alone Tabi'in, let alone first three generations, let alone scholar, if any one of us tonight has hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him, Sahaba deserve that more than us. How many people enter Islam after Allah because of the Sahaba? Including you. So if you have hope in Allah to forgive your shortcoming, why you don't have that hope, bigger than that hope for the Sahabi? Even if it happened, he had a shortcoming. So whom ahaqu, as Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah says, they deserve more than anyone else to be forgiven because of their companionship, the Prophet, because of their righteous actions, because of their truthfulness, because of all this. Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim. So Ahl Sunnah, they affirm this aqidah, to love the Sahaba, to take them as role model, to follow them, and to consider innovator who anyone, for anyone who say ill about the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The enemy of Al-Islam say, spread so much lies, fake things about the Sahaba, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim. So even carefully, when you're reciting this seerah, the history of Sahaba, to make sure the source, you're getting that to be a sound source, because many people, they lie. Many people, they lie. They lie. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.